1 Peter 5. Verse 1, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet you one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you, all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. That correctly read, 1 Peter chapter number 5. This is mainly an exhortation to the bishops or the pastors. There is, of course, teaching and edification for the believer found in the chapter. But it tells us something about the duty of the elder or the pastor. And I want to look in and around everything that he's saying because of verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Your adversary, the devil. Your adversary, the devil. Let me say it again. Your adversary, the devil. Whether we want to believe it or not, We have an adversary. Whether we engage in spiritual warfare or not, he is our adversary. He is our enemy, looking to devour. People can turn their back and try to ignore. That matters not. He is your adversary. And he's got a goal. He's walking about like a roaring lion. And that says a lot about his character. He is constantly on the hunt for a kill. He wants to destroy. Jesus said this in John 10. He had come that we might have life, but he talked about the devil. He come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the roaring lion, our adversary. And so we need to be aware of our adversary. A pastor needs to be aware of the adversary against the church, against every believer. We all have that same adversary, the same one, the devil. It is the devil. He's the one behind it. He's the one behind the actions, that spiritual wickedness that may try to come against you or me. The devil, our adversary, is the one directing everything that the minions of hell would try to pull against us. Are you listening? And so Peter, in this chapter, just in this chapter, he starts out by talking to the elders. And you have to realize that's who he's talking to. The elders which are among you, I exhort. Here comes the exhortation. He's talking to the elders. Now, this word elders in itself means the older. It has nothing to do with maturity. It has everything to do with age. But in the context of the scripture, it is the spiritual elders. Why? Because look at it. He's not just talking about older people in general. Because he's talking about the spiritual elder in particular. Why do we know that? Because he tells them in verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you. That's the duty of a bishop. To feed the flock of God which is among you. Taking the oversight thereof. That's the leader of the church, the pastor. He's not telling some old man that's the oldest one in the community to go and take his position over the church. Now, like I said, in general, the word elder here, it means the older. The one that, it is to the pastor. It's definitely to the pastor. Everything about the position, everything that Peter is telling him to do has to do with the position of the spiritual elder, the bishop. And so it's a sign. It's one of those things, that God gives to a bishop, and it identifies partly what he is as a bishop. He's an elder. He's the spiritual elder. And He calls us in one place. He uses the word governor, bishop, pastor, elder. But Peter said he was also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. I don't know how many elders were still left that, I mean, were with Christ in the beginning, that were a part of this longest. Peter was definitely one of them that was a part of this, if you want to say, movement, longer, as long as anybody. He said, I witnessed the suffering of Christ. I was there. I don't know how many others were. But Peter said, I'm an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Amen. He knew that. He was going to be a partaker. He knew that him and the other apostles were chosen specifically for a glorious purpose. And he says, feed the flock of God. He identifies the church as a flock right here. Feed the flock of God. The flock must be fed. Without feeding, listen, they will be weak when the adversary comes. Like a wolf among the sheep. Now listen, it is also to the sheep that they are part of the flock to make sure that they are there for the feeding. You need to be fed. You must be fed. God gives you an elder, a pastor, to feed you spiritually. To give you what you need, that you will have strength to run if needed when the enemy comes. Because he's coming. You have an adversary. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Listen, it's not my job necessarily to feed every other flock. My main goal, my main command is to feed the flock that's among me. To feed that flock where we are. That in our church, in our community, so to speak, it's what he was talking about. Feed the flock of God. Why? I mean, because you'd have a man, he'd be here 1 week, and then he may think he feels led to go somewhere else, and he may not come back here for Lord knows how long. Churches need pastors, elders, to stay and feed on a regular basis. Feed the flock. Some pastors, I don't know if they realize the importance of feeding on a regular basis. What it means to feed the flock of God. The church should not be starving for the word. Should not be. If they come and if they're hungry, if they're not full on the world, they should be able to feed regularly at the house of God. Get something that's going to help them. And so he's commanding the elders here that he's talking to, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. The position of oversight. is not to a women's committee, and I'm not being mean, it's not to a deacon board. The position of oversight is to the elder. He's to take the oversight. He is the man on the wall, watching, guarding the city. He is the shepherd of the sheep, keeping an eye by night. He takes the oversight, and he takes the oversight not by constraint. Not, you shouldn't have to wrestle it out of somebody's hands or you know, somehow, you know, make people, you know, give me the oversight. I'm gonna make you sit under me. I ain't make nobody sit under me. Constrain you to be under my thumb. There's a lot of men that try to pastor churches and their people are under their thumb. That's not pastoring. And that's not oversight. That's taking oversight by constraint. That's like holding a sheep down. Are you listening to me? Trying to get him to be still. Not by constraint, but willingly. Willingly. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good thing. A pastor should have a desire, a willing desire. God shouldn't have to make somebody do his will. Especially a pastor or a preacher. Just have to make them go. No, shouldn't do that. Not for filthy lucre. Now this filthy lucre is the greed of base gain. The greed of it. It's not saying that a church is not to support the pastor. It's not saying that the pastor is to refuse support. It's not saying anything like that. But it is saying that he's not to be greedy of gain. There are men that's all they're worried about, how fat my wallet's going to get while I'm there. How much they start me out at. What the pay is. What's the retirement like? Amen. What's the bonuses going to be? I mean, if just greed, that's what a man, listen, God said, you don't take the oversight for greedy gain. You'll become the elder and the feeder of the flock, and greedy gain is the goal of that. No, my mercy, no. It should be his desire to want to feed. Every pastor I have ever known that was a sincere pastor has felt the exact same way. It troubles them to think they have not fed their people. They want to know they've helped somebody. They want to do their best to try to help somebody. To give somebody something that's going to help them either right now or down the road. Something that's going to feed them, edify them, strengthen them, encourage them. Draw the sinner to repentance. The backslider to love them back into fellowship. And the saints of God to get under the load with them and help them along the way. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Of a ready mind. I've thought a lot about that. to have a ready mind. A ready mind. And it's more than just this. But here's an example. Some men, it seems like that they have to, you know, they have to get ready all the time. They're all the time having to get ready for Sunday, or getting ready for Sunday night, or getting ready for Wednesday night. Don't misunderstand me. There is preparation. But God wants his pastors to be ready. Stay ready. Stay ready. I mean, what if the God of heaven said, call everybody, Wednesday night's going to be on Tuesday this week. Lord, I'm not ready. A man needs to be ready. He needs to have a ready mind. A ready mind is a mind. I mean, somebody's mind that is already in the book, already prepared to feed, already prepared for the oversight. He's prepared already. He's willing already. He doesn't have to make up his mind. He doesn't have to, you know, break the coals over a few times to see. No, he is of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. And that's similar to what I was talking about, you know, a minute ago. Not by constraint. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. There's not but one Lord. One Lord. I'm not a lord over you. Listen, all you people are Christians. You say you're Christians. You're priest of God and of Christ. You have soul liberty. Soul liberty to follow Christ the way you believe the Spirit of God and His Word is leading you to live for Christ. And I have no business to even think about trying to step on your head and say, you do what I say. I can't come into your home, Adam, and lord over your home. You're the head of your home. How your home goes, that's your business and her business. It's not my business. I'm here to feed you from this book. I can tell you what God says about the home, how to have a happy home, how to have a happy marriage, your place in the home, the wife's place in the home, children's place. I mean, all the things that God, I can tell you that, but it's up to you to apply that. I can't be Lord, and I will not be Lord over nobody's life. I can't hardly keep my life straight. How can I lord over someone else's life? Listen, the hard preaching sometimes, it's not me jumping on your head. I give you the book, and then I earnestly pray for you. God, help them. Help them to see your word. Help them to love you more. Amen. Help them to walk with you. Help them to have victory in their life. Amen. Amen. Lord, help their homes to be good and their jobs to be good and their lives to be good. Help them to have joy and peace and love among one another. Whether you do that, it's not going to keep me from being your pastor or loving you or praying for you. Still going to love you and pray for you.
still preach to you. I'm not going to lord over you. Can't lord over you. Not to be lords over God's heritage. You are the heritage of God. God's heritage. It's like a man that, you know, he talks about children are a heritage to the Lord. You know, of the Lord. For a family, a man or a woman. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Well, the people of God, they're God's heritage. What about that? God's children. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensembles to the flock, or like an example, a living example to the flock. Paul told them in one place, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. The pastor should strive to live the kind of life that he could say, follow me, I'm following Jesus. I want you to follow Jesus. I really want you to follow Jesus. Listen, I'm not too big for my britches to say that. Listen, I couldn't even begin to think of some of you's following me, because I want to follow you. You're a light to me, God's people, a light to me. You think pastor needs a light? Sure he does. He needs people he can look at and be encouraged by. They're a light to him. Amen. It helps stir a burning fire. Even a young convert on fire helps stir my fire. Well, reminds me of them early days when I was young. Amen. And just burning hot. Amen. Like a fire in a stove, fire in a wood stove. You know, when you first get it going, you know, I had it kind of, you know, trying to get took off. But boy, once it gets took off, hey man, I mean, it's just a burning. I mean, burning hot. Then it kind of settles down. Boy, it just keeps everything just toasty warm. I mean, for the rest of the time that it's got life in it. I'm about done. I'm nowhere near where I need to be. Being ensembles to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear. Here we go, church. Now listen, we've got an adversary. He's walking about. He's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. You remember Jesus told Peter that Peter, Satan had desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. He's wanting to devour you, Peter. But I prayed for thee. Prayed for thee, thy faith fail you not. Listen, the Lord's coming. The chief shepherd's going to appear. We look for the blessed hope of our chief shepherd. I'm just an under shepherd. Feeding the flock. We're looking for the chief shepherd of the flock. Amen. I'm not much at leading sheep as an under shepherd, but boy, you talk about the great shepherd, son. He can lead the sheep. Amen. You know what I saw today over close to the house? He's a little old house there, and they've got a little old fence, and they keep a couple of lambs in there. And they've kind of got big, you know, turning into sheep, you know, looking a lot different now. And they was a bunch of them. I mean, they're always standing over, you know, standing, eating that hay, whatever they put out there for them, standing. Looking around, just easy, almost dopey sometimes, you know, looking just, you know, so trusting. A wild bear come in there, they just sit there until he mauled them. I mean, they're just so trusting, so soft. Always standing. Today went through there, and there they all stood. But there was one. And it looked like Brother Mike, it looked like me. I mean, it was fat. And it was laid down. Little tree. Eyes shut. I mean, just, and I knew that one's full. That one don't need nothing else. That one's got more than it needs. I had never seen one sprawled up there like that. And I mean, absolutely completely satisfied. My mind went to Psalm 23. It's just me. I have never seen one laid out like that. I've never seen one laid out the way that one was. I mean, it was just enjoying whatever it had got done doing. And now it didn't have a care in the world. David said, "He maketh me to lie down in green pasture." You have got to be absolutely full, completely satisfied. Down that way. None of the rest of them were. And they had everything they could possibly need. They had as much at their feet as that one did, no doubt. Now that one really took advantage of the good. And I mean, fat. Full. And I thought, whoever's the shepherding that one, they know that thing's that fat. They've let it be that fat. They've gave it. He might love that one more than the rest of them. I don't know. But I thought about those verses over there in Psalm. About God, about the Lord, our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Here he says he's the chief shepherd. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now I know in the context, he's talking again to the elder that takes the oversight. Does it the right way, he'll receive a crown of glory. The oversight of the flock. Is to help prevent the devil, your adversary, from getting as close to your life or closer than he needs to. Sometimes it's why God has a preacher preach on something. Maybe something you've let into your life or let into your home or something, you know, you've entertained with your thoughts, whatever it may be. Or maybe sometimes a preacher, you know, to to pull you aside and say, I'm worried. I'm praying for you, but I'm worried about the direction.
A shepherd's supposed to do that. Supposed to. It's not to make you feel bad. It's to keep the adversary away. It's to keep the adversary away. It's not within my power, listen, to make you do anything. I can't make you. You've got decisions to make. And living for the Lord, don't let the devil, don't let the adversary come near. And you take these things into your home, and now you be the overseer. Of your home. You feed your little flock at home. You can get a spiritual example out of this and do what God would have you to do. The way a pastor pastors a church, a father, listen, can father his home. Or a mother raised their children. Amen. I want you to stand. I'm done.